Hi, Marty Lurie here, KMBR 680, with the beautiful organ music in the background. We're joined by one of the hitting coaches and one of the all-time giants, that's Steve Decker. Road trip coming up, Colorado, Atlanta, and St. Louis. I guess you can enjoy Colorado.
Well, you would think, you go there and you hope that the weather and the altitude and everything is conducive for hitting. And usually it's one of those deals, just like at home, when you get the line moving and guys get hot, it seems like it's contagious. And, you know, I've been there before, Marty, when you don't do all that much with the bats. So we'll see. Well, you know, we're starting our plan is always good. Our preparation to prepare every day is always there. And it's going out and executing, as well as, you know, a strategy and the strength of the hitter and getting the pitcher to make some mistakes. This is the big leagues no matter who's pitching.
Yeah. Steve Decker joins us. It's the beginning of the road trip. Be nice to get Posey going, Belt going, maybe a little bit of power, maybe pencil play, maybe he won't. But those guys get on ahead of him, but somebody's got to knock one out once in a while.
Yeah, and I think what happens when you go to places, you know, whether it be Camden Yards, Philly, Coors Field, what happens is the hitters get comfortable in trusting their power to the gaps, and they become better breaking ball hitter, better outer half hitters, and I think that's how you get locked in. They say the hitting streak always starts in the opposite field gap and ends on the pole side foul line. So, you know, hopefully our hitters will get their power stroke going back to the middle of the field, and we'll carry that on into Atlanta and St. Louis.
All right, Steve Decker with us. Right, that's Coors Field. Then it's on to Atlanta with this beautiful organ music in the background. It's the end of that ballpark. This will be the last four games down there, and they'll go into a new park next year. The launching pad, Fulton County, was the launching pad. This thing plays a little bit more honestly, I would imagine.
Yeah, absolutely it does. Fulton County, before Coors Field, I think was the highest elevation of any ballpark in baseball. So, it plays fair, especially to the middle of the field. You know, with the power of guys like Pence and Parker and Posey, when they get their mistake and they blast it, it's going to go anywhere. But, like I said, the one thing is once the hitter starts to trust power to the middle of the field and doesn't have to put that extra into it, they seem to become better hitters. And then again, like I said, it's contagious, and it's always a team deal, a team offense. You know, you hope when one of your better hitters is down, somebody in the bottom of the top of the lineup picks them up. But like you said, at the end of the day, you got your table setters and your big guys are supposed to drive them in.
We call them the contributors and the carriers, and the carriers are the guys that have to do it. And to be a pennant-winning team, a World Series team, you got to have a few carriers. And right now, one of your carriers, I consider Brandon Belt a carrier, not a lot of power out of him. He's getting on base, good eye and all that, but not the power yet.
Yeah, part of that's pitch selection, controlling the count. One of the things I talked to in player development for 15 years was I'd walk up to a guy and say, hey, what's your goals this year? And they always seem to say, hey, I'd like to hit for more power. And I say, control the count, and I walk away. So part of it's strike zone awareness, you know, getting your pitch and not fouling it off. Because an offensive swing in a hitter's count is going to usually produce more power than a defensive swing in a pitcher's count. So what you try to do is get in good counts, and then when you do take your aggressive hack, that you are barreling the ball up. And Brandon will get that. He's working very hard. Him and Bammer were in there this morning going over their swing and working really hard. So, like I said, our preparation is no different than it always is. It's just the ability to walk out and execute it on the field at game time.
Atlanta, as you and I sit here talking, they've lost 18 of 20 at home. Can you fathom that?
No, I can't. You know, being an ex-manager in the minor leagues and managing a lot of games, I mean, you strive to win at home. You try to play 500 ball on the road. But, you know, I really don't know much about their team. I know they're young. I know they let go of their manager. Not sure their approach offensively, what they're trying to do in the minor leagues when it comes to the development of when their hitters do get to the big leagues and what they're trying to do. Don't know much about them being an East Coast team. I pay more attention to our West Coast division guys.
Yeah, you'll be seeing them next week. Williams, Perez, Fulton Navich, Whistler has pitched pretty well, and Julio Teran. They've got some good arms.
Yeah, we'll be doing our homework just like we always do. We'll have our video. We'll crunch some numbers. We'll come up with a good strategy, a good plan. Never really ever want to get away from your strength as a hitter, but if the umpire or the pitcher dictates you have to, then you do. So we'll take a good look at them. We'll be ready for them.
All right. Then you leave Atlanta, the beautiful South, and you go to the Midwest to St. Louis and the Sea of Red and the Arch. And what's it like, St. Louis?
Well, I tell you, St. Louis is a lot like here. They have a good fan base, a very family-oriented area. I'm from that area, kind of the Midwest. That's right. Always been my dad's favorite team. Now that I've worked for the Giants and played for the Giants, he's, you know, very partial to the Giants, too, but he's always been a Cardinal fan. And just like those Cub fans, they're very loyal, and they show up and they support their team. I think they're a lot like us, that they can win in multiple ways. You know, one day it might be pitching. One day it might be, you know, good defense. Another day it might be playing the slug game. They're a tough team, and they have pitching, and they have a good manager, and they seem to play. I know they're getting beat up again today, I think, by the Cubbies, but all in all, they're a solid club. You got to go in there, and I'm telling you, this is a big league. You know, any given day, any team can beat anybody, and you got to prepare, and it's you know, all the puns, the grind, you know, it's a long season, it's a marathon, but daily, you've got to prepare. For me, the scoreboard is always just a byproduct of preparation and execution, and you know, as coaches, that's all we can do is prepare the players mentally, physically, and emotionally, just like this training staff does, and then they got to go out there and perform, and at the end of the day, when we're going to play the Cardinals, you better be ready to play.
Yeah, the old adage is, one, luck is the residue of design, as Branch Rickey said, and Ken Maka told me, it's not easy to win a big league game.
No, it's not. It's a lot harder than just watching it on TV and say, why didn't that guy hit the fastball? I always tell people, people that have never played Major League Baseball or baseball at all, I tell them, when you're driving down the road and you're looking out the front window of your car and you're seeing you're going 80 miles an hour, 85, that's real easy to see. Now look out real quick to your side window, look down to the ground and watch that go by as a blur, and that's what it's like to be a hitter at the Major League level.
Very good. Steve Deck always has a good approach on this stuff. All right, so it's a nice road trip. What about the cities themselves, Atlanta, St. Louis, and Denver? Denver's beautiful.
Oh, I love Denver. You know, it takes a little bit to get used to the altitude for me. I usually get a headache when I get there, so I have to make sure I'm hydrated. But the city is a great city to walk downtown, beautiful scenery. Atlanta, I've never really done too much in Atlanta. I know they're moving the new ballpark out north of the city where it's supposed to be just beautiful. And then St. Louis is right next to your hotel, is right downtown and right next to the ballpark, just within a few blocks of walking distance. So really a great atmosphere, just like it is here in San Francisco.
Yeah, I went to St. Louis for the World Series when they played the Red Sox, and boy, the food was great. Up in the hill for the Italian food, that Greek town, that food around the ballpark, the Arch. It was kind of nice. And then you see the river there.
Yeah, the Arch, if nobody's ever been in the Arch, that's quite the attraction, the gateway to the West. And they have these little elevators that go up, and then they adjust, and then they turn, and they adjust. And it's quite the spectacle to see. But normally when I go to St. Louis, I'm always, you know, St. Louis, Kansas City, hit the ribs, and then you go to Memphis and, you know, Texas. Everybody has those different types of ribs. So I usually looking for a rib place in St. Louis when I get there.
You know, it's funny as you say that. You know, you've been in baseball, I don't know, what, about 30 years already?
Yeah.
About 30 years. You've seen a lot of the country.
Oh, I have. You know, I've either seen other countries, but, you know, I was a Rover for the last 5 years in the minor leagues before I came to the major league team. And a lot of times you meet teams on the road and not just at their home cities because the way the schedule works out. And, yeah, you in the game of baseball, I had a lot of frequent flyer mileage and I saw a lot of different cities. And I would actually like to start enjoying cities more, you know, and paying attention. Whenever my wife's with me, she knows everything they do, even coming to San Francisco. She researches it and says, hey, let's go do this. Let's get on bikes and ride over to Sausalito and take the ferry back. So when my wife's around, I do a lot more cultural things than I do when I get to the ballpark for a 7 o'clock game around noon and, you know, start doing my thing every day. So I don't necessarily take advantage of what I should in a lot of the cities.
One last bookkeeping question for you. Matt Duffy, what does he have to do to get on track?
Well, one of the things Matt's adjusting to is how the league is pitching him and how the league is defending him. One of the things, you know, that he's always been really good at is putting the ball in play, Marty. But now it's going to be putting the ball in play with a different strategy at times. Matt, he's a hard worker. He's a dirty. I mean, his uniform's always dirty. He's a tough kid. And, you know, I know he'd like to be hitting better with runners in scoring position and driving the ball in hitters' counts. But at the end of the day, I mean, his numbers, I think he hit 230 in the first month of the season, but led our team in well hits. You know, so part of it's a little bit of luck, you know, and then that pressure gets on you, and they, you know, they talk about your sophomore year in the big leagues and what our team's doing to adjust to you. I have a lot of faith in Matt Duffy, and he's what I call a baseball player, and he does a lot of other things, even when he's not hitting, to help us win games, especially slow rollers, leaving his feet. He's one of our better base runners. He's really a ball player, and he comes to play every day.
All right, as the organ music stops, we'll end it. Steve, thanks so much, as always. It's always great to talk to you. Good baseball guy, Steve Decker. Steve, thanks.
Thank you, Marty. I appreciate being on.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.